Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Haven Community Church. Happy 15th birthday for Haven. We're celebrating that today. So there's not a better way to celebrate than just stand and worship the Lord. Are you with me? Let's stand up.
Child of God, yes I am.
right, everyone. Our kids are going to stay here right now, and we're going to switch some things around. We're going to go ahead and show a video. But before that, I want you to tell somebody, happy anniversary, and you look good today for 15. Go ahead, tell them. At this time, we're going to show you a little bit of what went on over the last year because of your generosity and just some of the ministry that we've done over 15 years. And so let's take a look at what happened in 2022.
I'm sorry. That deserves a stand up and shout. Come on. Haven Community Church, Jack Cohen, thank you. Thank every one of you out there. You guys are amazing. Oh, the kids can go. I'm sorry. I have one job and I screwed it up. Okay. And two of those kids are my grandkids. Thank you, Jesus. Woohoo! I got six. We'll keep working on them. How is everybody today? Did you see that cake out there? Celebrating 15 years of Jesus. And I was going to put and Jack, but I figured I'd really be in big trouble. Yeah, he's smacking me. I'm full of myself today. God is just inside me, inside out. I'm happy, I'm sad. I can't explain it. Our church family lost somebody that we just love with all of our hearts. Jamie Hudson took her life on Friday. And I'm telling you, that is a kid I've known my whole life. I coached her in volleyball. I grew up with her parents. And it just breaks my heart because she's my daughter's age. And she suffered from depression. So I'm telling every one of you here today, you reach out to somebody. And if you ever get into that dark zone, you call Joanna. I mean it. Because I got hugs for you. I got love for you, and we're going to get right with Jesus because God loves you, and he will carry you through. So no matter how low, how far you go, please reach out to Jesus or a friend, anybody. Make that call. It's so important. And we want to lift her family, her husband, and her children. And we want to lift Ernie's wife, Brenda. She's going to have some more toe surgery this week. And she sent a little note, said, thank you very much for all your prayers, because she's doing good. And Gail got a shot in the eye, not feeling too good today, so we want to lift Gail in prayer. Caden Brown's going to have his surgery on February 9th. We want to continue to lift him in prayer. That boy's been a long journey. And I got to do a shout-out to some of my friends out there, because you know I talk to you every day or at least once a week. Liz, Jenny, Judy, Roger, all you guys out there, thank you for watching Haven Online and the compliments that you give me. Ha ha, Jack, there you go. And I got a shout out to Miss Emily, and thank God for Wes. He's home. He's doing well. And I have a special thank you to Bob and Hope for driving Mr. and Mrs. Daisy. They are just so grateful for you. They are so grateful. And Sarah, she's kicking butt. We both have knee surgery, so we're going to, like, do what's that bag race you do with sack race. That's it. We're going to do that at the picnic this year. And they wanted me to shout out. So I know they're watching, and we love them. And Ian, oh, I think he already went out. Did he go out? Ian, where is he? Stand up. This young man actually flew a plane. He is in a flight school, and he is doing good. And I just want to give him a round of applause, because that takes a lot of courage. And read what it says. Really? You can't see it? Come on. Got it. These are hot off of the press. They're out front, got many, many, many sizes, and we're just taking donations. Because that's what we're here for, to love God and love people. So I want to put your hands down on your legs. Give it to God. Everything you woke up with this morning, everything that's heavy on your heart. And I want you all to pray for me because my heart is heavy. It's never been this heavy. That girl just takes my heart away. I can't stop thinking about her. I can't stop thinking about her family. Whatever it was, it was on your heart that was hard this morning. Put it down. Give it to God. Let it go. Your financial frustrations, if you got some crazy going on, let it go. If your marriage is struggling, let it go. Let God in and let him heal you. Let him come to you. I had a gentleman today say to me, I'm full of JC. And I'm so happy for him because I know he's telling me the truth. He's full of JC. And when Jesus is in the house, we got it. We got it for each other. This family here touches me so much, I can never tell you, ever tell you how much. A young lady reached out to another member this week and just sent her a note, and it just touched her heart, and I thank her for that, because that's a good thing, and that's what we do here at Haven. We reach out and touch each other every day. And I want you to put your hands up to heaven, because our precious God, he delivers. He gives us glory. He gives us grace. And he gives us perseverance to get through the things that we don't think we're going to make it through. And if anyone out there is hurting, because I know someone is today, I know God's put you on my heart, I am with you. You come see me after church, because I've got hugs for you, and I need the hugs you have for me. In Jesus' name, I pray these things, and be with Jack as he takes us through our 15th year celebration, and you all have to stay for cake. And no, my mom did not make it this time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Haven. I love this church, and I love every one of you in here. Amen.
All right, everyone, how you doing? So, yeah, I do want to add another prayer to the prayer list for John Delp and his family. John's wife passed away very suddenly. He found her last week. John and I went to school together. I know Patty and Dale are very close to them as well. And some of you have been around this area for a while. Remember Delp's Barbershop downtown? That is John's father. And so John lost his wife. And I believe it also was his birthday this week, too. So it's a mixed. And so there's been a lot of heaviness going on this week. And there's also been some joy in the midst of that. But God is still God. And that is amazing. I know he's God because of the Eagles score yesterday. And so, what happened in the Bible? Giants fell, Eagles soared. That's all I'm saying. So it's biblical. It's biblical. So anyway, all right. You think I'm lying? I'm not. If you want to go ahead and get the bulletin from, you can go ahead with the QR code. Go ahead, take out your phone and do that kind of stuff. And so we are here. We're going to celebrate our 15th year anniversary, and we're just going to be in a time of celebration. I'm going to take you back through some stuff, and we're going to go forward because, you know, a lot of times when people celebrate anniversaries, they're like, oh my gosh, we made it. And, you know, a lot of churches feel that way too because the average church start in America fails within the first 4 years. And so God wants us here for some reason. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. In Matthew 18, Jesus told his disciples, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not overcome it. And so Jesus is the builder of the church. And there's something I want to do. I want to welcome those here. If you're visiting, we're glad that you're here. I haven't said this in a while, but I want to say if you're here, you're not here by mistake. God wants you here and has a purpose for you and really wants to speak to you. And if you're watching online, dealing with whatever, every person, every family, every individual, no matter where you are, we want to let you know that we love you and we're here and we're glad that you're checking out today and we're glad that you joined us because this is about God and it always has been, always will be. Psalm 115 reminds us this, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory because of your love and faithfulness. And that has been my heart since this church started and before it started. And so today I want to take a moment and just celebrate what God has done. And so literally I want to look at this verse from Deuteronomy. And in looking at this verse from Deuteronomy, I spent some time looking up verses that dealt with do not forget. How many of you are pretty forgetful? All right. So I'm going to tell you, do not forget.
It's something that you need to know. I'm one of those people, I always forget where my keys are, so thank God for those tiles, because I spend more time looking up tile and hitting it and then getting perturbed when it doesn't find it. But eventually it does. So I spent a lot of time in the Bible looking up, do not forget, or don't, and things like that, and how important it is to pause and remember certain things. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, is right up here, it says, only be careful and watch yourself closely so that you what?
Do not forget.
Oh, that you don't what?
Do not
there you go. Do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. And so there's some really cool things, and this is something that's good for even now, whether you're a Christian or not, if you see this, something to do. Teach them to your children and their children after that. So it's a lesson to just share something time and time again. Now, I'm a historian by nature. I love to know history. And one of the things is I always love to listen to family stories. Anybody like family stories? Like, anybody have grandparents or parents or somebody that like to just tell stories? Anybody? How many of you like to listen to those? Okay, how many of you miss hearing those now because you don't have them? I thought of just some. The last 2 years of her life, and because I was serving a church down in Lewis, Delaware, I got to spend with my grandmother. And she was Mum forever. Her name was Emma, and that's where Emma Gail got her name. Our first name, but I spent a lot of time with my mom over those last 2 years, and she just loved to tell stories. One of Jill's my favorite stories is when she was a kid, and my mom used to just laugh, and she had this cackle laugh. She just loved to laugh, and she told the story when she was in a one-room schoolhouse, and they were doing spelling tests, and she said, I still think about it to this day, anytime I see the word, and she said, the teacher said, who had people use this word in a sentence? And she said, this one boy, the teacher went in and said, use the word holy. And he stood up and said, Mary, your dress is holy. And she just thought that was absolutely hilarious and cackled him. And every time I see holy now, I think of Mary, your dress is holy to this day. But she went on and told me stories of her parents, her mother who died very young. And she had, there was 11 children altogether in that time, and how she had outlived every one of them and everyone around her. She talked about working in Milton in a shirt factory as a seamstress. And living with my grandfather's family right after they were married, before they built their home. And she told me one time about an old party line where, and if you don't know what party lines are, it was basically like everybody shared the same telephone number. And she said she went to pick up the phone, and there was these two older ladies just talking horrible about the pastor. And she thought that was just awful. And then she told me about my mom and dad's first date. It was a blind date, and it's one of the most hilarious stories I've ever heard. Many of you know who my dad was in an accident at age 10, and he was pronounced dead on arrival, and God just did some stuff in his life, and he ended up walking and had a built-up shoe and walked with a limp. And my grandmother told me that my mom was always bringing somebody who was just a little different home, you know? And my grandfather was upstairs after this blind date, trying to get a good look at who she was bringing home. And my mom said he looked out the window, and he had the Sussex County accent, and he never called it Emma. He always called her Emil, and it was always Emil. And she said he looked out the window and said, my Lord Emil, she's brought home a cripple. And my dad thought it was the funniest thing, and we laughed about it forever. And she just cackled about that. She was the epitome of just a grandmother who just loved unconditionally. And she was my mom to so many others, and then the next generation she was granny to so many others. And she's been gone since 2007, and she's an amazing lady. My dad's grandmother was completely different. Grandmom was a tough, opinionated, yet loving person if she liked you. And when I was a kid, she was entertainment. She was loud, and she would tell some of the most fascinating stories from her wooden clawfoot kitchen table or chair with dog hair absolutely everywhere, often with a cigarette hanging out her mouth. If she was in her chair, she had a cigarette hanging out her mouth, or she'd go get another one. She had the shirts that had little pockets, and she had a fly swatter in her hand in case the dogs got out of where, and she'd smack them. And if she didn't like something, she'd say, "I wouldn't take Jesus to see that," and she had some interesting names for my dad as well and other people. Yet when you sorted all this hard exterior, you found a woman who had absolutely incredible faith in Jesus. That when her son, my dad, was pronounced dead on arrival in BB Hospital in 1951 after the family was in a car accident, she said to the doctor after he came out and told him, "I'm sorry, your son has passed," she said, "Get back in there. My God is not going to let my son die." And he lived for another 70 years. And so she was right. She talked about how she worked in caulk company in Milford, and also baked on the side to help pay my dad's medical bills. She spoke of a God who worked personally and impacted her life. And of course, anybody who's ever listened to my dad, he had great stories about acting like he was asleep, so when his mom went to work, he would go next door and have his grandmother fix him breakfast and spoil him. And she called him her little preacher from his infancy. Stories of being in St. Luke's Hospital at the age of 10, and being there for 18 months to 2 years, dropping water balloons off the balcony on people. And one time they got the hospital administrator's wife. Talking about his grandmother Cohen and his father and his aunt Henny, who all spoiled him. And stories of his time at Duke University. And so I learned to be a blue devil at a very young age and learned that dad could pick up that big shoe and slam down when they were playing North Carolina. Stories of how he was going to lose his leg, and in his childlike faith, he said to God, "If I walk, I will go ahead and serve you." And right before I was born in 1970, 1971, how he had a personal encounter with the living God through the Holy Spirit that changed the life and direction of his life forever, and so many others that he came across. You know, some facts about the past and some things in our past are awesome to be shared. There's some other ones that just need to stay there, am I right? But there's a lot of things that we need to hang on. And so what I wanted to start a little bit today by sharing some of Haven's story so that we're all on the same playing field. Some of you have been on that journey since the very first part. And it's a story I've told a lot. I haven't told it lately. But the interesting thing about the story is that there's a lot of miracle of God in all of it. I know some have heard it, and there's some newer people, but God wrote it and continues to write every day. So I was raised as a PK, a preacher's kid, and they're always the worst, but I was the best. Joe was the worst. And I grew up, and I didn't want to be a pastor, because when you're part of a pastor's family, that's the last thing you ever want to do. But God had different plans, and through that, I became a pastor in the United Methodist Church, and I love the United Methodist Church. I still do to this day. Everything that it gave me, the spiritual formation and all those things, I have a love for that. I was going to seminary at the time, and I spent the first 5 years, they had a student appointment, and I was at two churches out in Fair Hill, one at St. John's United Methodist Church, if you go toward Louisville, it's right about the state line, and then Moores Chapel United Methodist Church. I was at St. John's and Moores Chapel for about 5 years, and God was doing something really cool in the midst of it all, and I stayed at Moores Chapel for another 4 years. In the United Methodist Church, they had this thing called the itinerant system, which means it's called musical chairs. Every once in a while, a bishop decides to play the music and get you moving around. And so I was happy to be at Moores Chapel, and we were in the midst of doing a building program, probably one of the largest in the church's history. And the church was growing so many ways, not just by numbers, but by spirit. And Melissa and I had just built our house 3.5 years previous. We had a new baby. Her name is Hannah, who just turned 18. And And yet the Bishop of the United Methodist Church decided that they had different plans for me. And so I was appointed to Bethel United Methodist Church in Lewis, 2005. And they gave me a housing allowance. Anybody know anything about the housing market in 2005? They could have robbed Fort Knox, and I could not have got a house down at the beach. You know what I mean? And so there were some things there that went on. But I loved the people there, and God blessed the ministry, and it grew. It wasn't ideal for my family, as they were here and I was there. And as things tend to happen, although people work for God, a lot of times they may not know Him. And I got caught up in what was called church politics from a higher level. And the first Sunday I was preaching, I remember I was sitting in the pulpit because they had one of those nice big stained glass areas and dark wood. And I always love those. Just to let you know, behind those wooden pulpits, some preachers, I don't know whether they got the fear of God or something, but there's like wood was dug out, like they're digging their fingernails in. I don't know what's going on. I heard God say really audibly while I'm in the middle of the service, He said, go. And I was thinking, you know, because you know I have ADHD, so I can talk, I can have a million conversations at once. So I'm preaching and have a conversation with God, and I go, where? And I'm wondering where. And after church, we're riding back here, and I told Melissa, and I told her about it. And I said, God said, go, and I just don't know where. And she said, did you ask when? I'm like, no, I'm ready to go. That didn't happen. But we did some really good things there, connected with some lifelong relationships. They talked about the older ladies. They called them my gals that were in a Bible study. That the Bible study started off with about 10 people, and by the time I left, we had 50 people on a Wednesday morning. And they just, if anybody said anything about me, they were out for bear. They would attack somebody. It was awesome. They were in my own hit squad. Some really great things, but often running back and forth and from home to there, staying with my grandmother until she passed away and taking care of her house when she couldn't be there even before that. And then sometimes not even getting home for 2 weeks because it was a large church and there was a lot of stuff going on. And during that time, though, I ended up going to some conferences, and I went to one out in Santa Ana, California. Never been to California before, and I liked that area, Santa Ana. It was pretty nice. And I went to Saddleback Church. You guys may know the pastor who is just retiring. His name is Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren. And he wrote The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life, which changed people's lives. And I ended up at this conference not knowing why I was there, and it was all on church planning or church launching. There was a guy named Kerry Shook from Fellowship of the Woodlands, or what's known as Woodlands Church in Woodlands, Texas. And here's this guy who grew an amazing church, and here I am having this awesome conversation with him. I have no clue why. And so that continued, and then just like a couple weeks later, I got home, and some people from the United Methodist Church called me and said, hey, you want to go to a conference? I said, sure, Jack's always ready to go for a free trip. And they said, yeah. I said, where is it? They said, San Diego, California. And I said, God, is that where you want me? Okay, we'll deal with that. I like San Diego, great weather all year. But I went out there, and guess what it was? It was another conference on church planning. And I was there. I had no clue why I was there, but it was back in the day where it was safe, and we went across the border and went to Tijuana. You've never lived till you went with pastors over the border to Tijuana. I'm just telling you. They have no clue about life, some of them. But they said, hey, we can get something to eat at that hotel. I said, I don't think we want anything from that hotel. We survived and came back. Then after that, God planted a seed in my heart, a seed of starting a church. In doing that, I just started to, I couldn't get it out of my mind. And so one day I came home and I was cutting grass. And as I was cutting grass, the Lord spoke to me and just told me, Haven, He's just giving me one word answers. And that does not work with Jack, okay? But He gave me the term Haven. I didn't have a clue what it was, but I just kind of felt it had something to do with the church. And so that night I went down and I began to work on some logos. And I had all these kind of weird ones, but this one down at the bottom, some of you may recognize that. It's on the sign out there still on 40. And so that's what God gave me. It had a whole bunch of different things besides community church. It had like fellowship. It had some weird stuff, I'm just telling you. But God sorted it out and gave me that name. And this was about a year and a half before Haven was ever launched or talked about in that matter. And so I couldn't get this idea of a new church start out of my mind. So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll speak to a district superintendent who's over the pastors. And the district superintendent, who I knew pretty well, was encouraging but felt I was just where God needed me to be. And I said, well, could you tell him to shut up then because he's driving me crazy? And then she wasn't helping with the housing situation much and yet I saw other people who were fully supported to do church starts, and it just was there. I mentioned to others who were close to me, and they were supportive, but they just thought, that's just Jack's next wacky idea, and just kind of patted me on the back. And then what we did is when I would get home, a lot of times I could get home on Friday nights for Fridays, and I would come home, and we began to start a Bible study. And we just invited some people. I think, Joe, you were there. I know some others may have been there. And some people came on Friday nights, and one of the things that happened there is a couple of people started getting pregnant. I don't know what kind of Bible study it was. Well, I guess it was all that begatting or whatever. But I remember Melissa saying, I am so glad it's them and not me. Until it was her, and Judah was on the way. And so he was on the way, and then still trying to deal with this God telling me to go, a leadership in the church, which I wanted to honor. Yet they didn't see that what God was placing on my heart was something that needed to be dealt with. And so I dealt with some major politics with a bishop who, let's say, had less than the grace of God, much less. And at one point, I was contacted by a group called the Free Methodist Church, who were very supportive and encouraging. And so I ended up leaving was told to leave by the United Methodist Bishop. And I met with a few who were interested in a church start. It's a neat video that was done several years ago about a girl saying, this is who I am. And she was just talking about who she is and how the church doesn't reach her. So I then had a clergy meeting. I was still with the United Methodist Church at a clergy meeting with a new superintendent, and they told me that they received my letter submitting my United Methodist credentials. I said, that's funny, because I didn't write one. And they handed it to me, and I laughed, and by the grace of God, I didn't get violent. But anyway, I ended up leaving, and the people in the Free Methodist Church were just good, loving people. They promised a lot of support, and not much came up. And so what we had to do, after I've already left with a foot in my back at the United Methodist Church, here I am, ready to start a new church, and the finances and the plan that we had were totally different. And so what we did, we said, okay, well, all the money you're going to give for the year, let's load it up 6 months. Meaning after 6 months, I don't know, I was going to, I'd do something, you know what I mean? I'd figure something out. So I was doing that. It was interesting during that time, the pastor, a mentor of mine, a spiritual father of mine who just passed away, we celebrated his life on Friday. When I met with him and said, I'm going with the Free Methodist Church. He said, why are you going with them? He said, why are you going with anybody? I said, well, you know, I have a family and they need to be supported. And he goes, God knows you have a family. He's called you, Jack. He's called you, Jack. And don't ever try to get anybody to outgive God. And I found out very quickly he was right. He was right on a lot of things. And so after hanging out for a while and visiting some other churches, I came home from a church one day and I told Melissa, and I said, you know, we got to start something or else I'm not going to do this. And so on Sunday, January 13th at 2008, we met in our house with 54 people. We set up, we have pictures, I got to find them, I couldn't get hold of them, they're on some like old computer, probably 30 ago, we put up all the chairs, and we had a sectional couch that was horrific, but people sat there. We hooked up the laptop to the television, so you still had PowerPoint, you still had worship songs, and our old worship leader, some of you were here before Wayne moved away. Wayne and I played guitars right in front of my television, and I preached the slides. Haven Kids met in our Sunday school, met in our living room, which is now our bedroom, and Melissa and I even cooked breakfast. Wayne sent me a message today, said, have a great anniversary service and throw some scrapple out to people. So it was like, okay, that's good. And then the next week, we ended up we had 54 that first week. Next week, we had 64. And the third week, we had 84. And a guy came to me, Craig Lewis, and he said to me, how are your floorboards? And I said, I don't know. I guess good enough. And he's like, you better find something different. And I thought, And so now in 3 weeks, I'm trying to figure out what to do. This was my plan for a while, and it's not working. So the girls were in dance at the time, and Melissa was on the way to the dance, and she said, Jack, what about the dance center? And Tina, good to see you. Tina and Mike were great. And Tina, we asked about it, and she opened up, and we just gave it to us for hardly anything at all. And the church was on, we had church on one side, and it's right down the hill. Church on that far side there, and that one in the middle. I set up a coffee pot that Mom and Dad gave me, one of those big old metal ones that you have, set that up, and we go ahead, and we had whatever Walmart had cheap on the time that I could get for you. And then week four, we had 100 people, and then all the equipment was in tubs that I kept in a shelf in my basement, and I would go pull them out, walk them up the Bilco doors, put them in my car that I ran around and backed up. It was then a 2002 Jeep Grand Cherokee, and I shoved everything in there, and I drove, and when I got here, man, people just started taking it out and doing things, and then at the end, the reverse would happen, and they put it away, and when they put it away, sometimes it'd sit for a couple days because I was too lazy to take it down in the basement, and we would have practice at Wayne's house for worship team, and that went on for a long while, and then Tom Racine. If you go out here, the Bell Cafe, it's in memory of Tom. Tom was one of just the first people that God just brought that just made things happen. And Tom said to me a year or so when I was over his house one day, he said, hey, I'm not looking to die anytime soon, but when I do, I want you to take this bell at my house, and I want you to put it in the church, and I want you to ring it every once in a while for me. So what we have is forever, no matter who's the pastor, this church will always have a Bell Cafe in honor of Tom Racine. And Tom was a Wheeler dealer, and he knew everybody. And so Tom got us this, which was a godsend, this little trailer that we just shoved everything in. And it's just such a blessing. And except for during the winter, when the lock would freeze, and you had to have a lighter there to heat it up and to get into it. But hey, it was awesome. And so we loved our time at the dance center, but we were starting to fill up. And so Easter was coming, and we're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to have there? And I think there was like 177 or something that actually showed up. So we ended up calling Al Volpe, the principal at Northeast Middle School. And he opened up Northeast Middle School at the time, and we went there for that Easter in 2008. And then, don't worry, I'm not going through every 15 years. But that ended up starting off that we needed that bigger space for a longer term. So up until August 2013, we met in Northeast Middle School. And Gordon and Dale were the primary custodial staff there, and they were dedicated and just awesome and many times. But portable church has its own challenges. Sometimes the power wouldn't work. Sometimes rooms were locked. Heat was hot. And there was no air conditioning. Anybody remember the no air conditioning days? We had these big fans in the back that we just, you know, preaching in a wind tunnel. It was awesome. And if they waxed the floors, we would have church in the cafeteria, which was sometimes nice because they did have air conditioning. However, one of the other things that was there was one time they were doing both the floors, and we had church in the library. Now, I don't know about you, But books suck up every ounce of speech. And when we're singing, I was singing that song, Majesty. And every time I go, it was like, Majesty, Majesty, Majesty. And the books are just sucking out the words. And so we did it, and like, that was fun. And we're moving stuff around. It was an interesting thing, but it was just an awesome, awesome opportunity to have that. Because as I understand, a lot of schools don't do that anymore and open up to churches. So, we got more stuff. Because that's what churches do. They get more stuff. And Tom got us a bigger trailer. Took the other one, traded in, and got us a bigger trailer. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. But then we started to have a desire of a place to call our own. And we went through a lot, and we did a lot of research. One time we were even talking about doing a daycare. And we were like, well, we had people that applied, and I was. They were like, well, what if somebody didn't show up? I said, I guess one of us has to do it. And that just sounded horrific. But we were trying anything to make it happen, and it just fell flat. And then one day I was up in Elkton at the old Walmart, and I ran into Mike Travers, Tina's husband, and we began to talk about the space here again. And then I handed over some people who were much smarter than I am, and we began to... As we were building this building, which worked out for everybody and truly for us and the dance center and everybody, we began to move on over to here, and we had to fit it out and do some different things. And so let's look at when we moved in here. We had a lot of people just working. Thank God a lot of other people knew what they were doing, because I had no clue. Tom Young kind of headed that up, and a lot of us were here till real late at night and early in the morning, cutting tiles and painting and doing everything. And it was just a neat bonding time. That's me up there. I think they caged me in up there to keep away from stuff. But it was pretty amazing. And the stage was up in that area, and we were there for a while. And then on. September 1st, one of the things we saw is underneath you, all over this, one of the things that we did is before we laid carpet down, anybody who wanted to, we gave markers and people wrote their favorite scriptures, because we wanted to always be the foundation of our church is the Word of God. And you can see this one in there. It talks about that God will bless you going in and coming out. So anybody coming through those doors, we want God to bless them either way. And it's just an important note. And these are just a handful of some of these that are all underneath you, all around this whole area. And so one of the things was, though, we only had, unless things didn't change, we only had enough money for 6 months. We're like, all right. Let's go. So this is the miraculous part, because this year it'll be, this September it'll be 10 years. And God is doing just some amazing things. And through that time, we've had Vacation Bible School. We've had community events. Like, we were one of the first people to open up to the county to go ahead and be able to do Narcan training here. And we just opened the church for people to do that. Weddings, baptisms, trunk or treats, movie nights, worship services, Good Friday, Christmas Eve. And then we went ahead and we began to go ahead and do church-wide studies occasionally. And we did one called Radical by David Platt. And it was really radical. And it really changed our heart about those who are less fortunate in our world. And it caused our mission team to say, hey, let's go hard or go home. Let's go to the poorest country in our hemisphere, and let's go to Haiti. And we did that. And we're going to talk more about that next week. Next week, we're going to dedicate to Haiti. And there's some really amazing things, but there's also some things that we really got to be in prayer about for them down there. They're dealing with lots of things. And then we dealt with what everybody else dealt with, COVID-19. And who would have thought that we could not gather together? I was in a room with nobody. But we had made plans to go ahead and flip the church. And one of the things that we did during that time is we met on Zoom. And we told each other, hey, we got to do something. And we went ahead, and several of us distributed every address or every person that we had at the time, went around the county. I think it was like 7-hour days where we went ahead and just took a full work day and just rent all different parts of the county and the area and states. Like, anybody who called this their church home that we had an address for, we delivered things so that you would be able to have communion with the Good Friday service and everything thing for Holy Week. And we just wanted to say, hey, even though we're disconnected, we're still united in Christ. And then we flipped the church, and that's why I'm here. I would be doing sound, but there, we did that. And we had people that come out, and you can see that's Jake up top, and Keith, and Bill, and there's Danny. And here's just how it was flipped, and it's just like, wow, this is amazing. And yet here we are celebrating 15 years. And I'm going to promise you something. None of it was planned. This is the Lord just providing amazing opportunities. Believe me when I say my plan was done about 2 weeks into it when somebody asked me, how's your floorboards? Because I didn't even know what he was talking about at the time. And I want to say this, that this church is not about a person. It come about as a group because there's a group of really gifted mutants that knew Jesus really well. I want you to know I'm just Jack from Northeast Maryland. I was born in Fredericksburg, Maryland. I'm not super intelligent. My GPA in first semester was 1.6, so that'll tell you. I did go to West Virginia, so you'll forgive me about that. But it may be my looks, but probably not. But what it is, it's all Jesus. It's all Jesus and all glory to God the Father. It's all about him in the name of Jesus, and he deserves every single bit of the praise. Yes. And we're here 15 years, and only God knows where we're going from now. The only thing I've ever known as a leader is to try to go ahead and just share Jesus and to tell you that I'm a mess up too, and that he still loves me, and to place and position the church in a place and just make it a place where God can do what he wants to do in it, and that I don't get in God's way. And that when people come into the door, they can be relaxed and they can be themselves and they don't have to put on masks and act like they're one thing. This is named Haven for a reason, to be a safe place where you can come in if you're broken and falling apart, that God can heal you and put you back together. Or you can find other broken people. And guess what? Put together, we make a really good puzzle. All right? And so that's one of the things that we need, that I wanted to do. And all to connect God to and with others, and to find a place where God can utilize your God-given gifts and talents. And I want to help train and guide people to be leaders. I want to see the leaders of tomorrow. I want to see the person who takes my job here one day. And for us all to be part of something much larger known as the kingdom of God, and be impactful in that. I'm historically not a big strategic guy. I kind of fly by the seat of my pants, and I call it that the Holy Spirit's moving at times. But I used all my strategy, like I said, in the first couple weeks, maybe the first couple months, and I had to, but I always just wanted to try to say, all right, God, here you go. Do your thing. I'm more of an opportunist and recognizing that God brings opportunities to us, and he just wants to do something in each individual. And this is why this theme today is about remembering and not forgetting. And so what I want to do in this final part is I want to share three things with you. Three things that we don't forget, because remember that's what I said. We need to forget, we don't forget we are not a great church, but we serve a great God. Amen. We're not a great church. Really, it's all about an amazing God. And I just want to be about Jesus. I don't want to ever be about me or anybody else. I just want the church to be the church of our Lord, to exalt the name of Jesus, to talk about Jesus. And when people ask you about your church, just tell them, hey, I don't know what it is, but it's about Jesus. And we need to fast and pray and seek God in all things and know that none of our efforts are enough. God loves them. You guys are amazing. But only God can change a life. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, it's another, never forget, it says, when God, your God, ushers you into the land he promised you through your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to you, you're going to walk into a large, bustling city you did not build. And guess what, Haven? We have inherited some things from our ancestors that have done ministry in the area. My dad did ministry at Northeast United Methodist Church for 14 years, and I and many in this area are reaping this. We're reaping the reward from what he instilled, and several other pastors and other lay people in this area. Long before Haven was even thought of, generations of on fire believers in churches around here prayed for God to bring revival to our area. And I want to praise God and remember those people who we may not even know, but that gave their life and planted seeds and watered them so that we could have the blessing that we have now. And he says, well-furnished houses you did not buy, come upon wells you didn't dig, vineyards and orchards you didn't plant. God did it. God did it all. And when you take it all in and settle down, when you get in, when you don't have to worry about turning on the fans because you can just turn on the air conditioning, when you don't have to worry about where stuff is because you can just go print it out there, when you know that someone's taking care of the kids and you know somebody's taking care of food and all those other things, when you get to that point and you settle down, make sure you do not forget how you got there, because it's all about a great God. It's all about a great God. Jesus is the one who deserves our glory, and we will continually seek God's presence each and every day over our own efforts. The second thing is, never forget. Everybody say never forget. Never forget that we will take the next step spiritually and help others do the same. All of us, including myself, always need to take next steps. We've never arrived until we arrive there, until we arrive in heaven. So we take the next step spiritually, and that's being committed to do what God's called us to do as a church. If there's nothing else that you ever get here at Haven, just hear me in this. God has a spiritual journey for you. He has a plan for your life. And I would love for you to know what that plan is. And I would love to take you through those steps to help you discover and live it out. And that's my goal and my purpose in life, to do for you what others have done for me. As I said, I never really wanted to be a pastor, and Reverend Cohen was not me, it was my dad. But one thing I do desire is just to create an area of love and caring and an environment where people can be fulfilled in their life's purpose and realize that Jesus loves them much. And that's why Peter wrote in 1 Peter, you call out to God for help and he helps because he's a good, good father. But don't forget, there's another forget. He's also a responsible father and won't let you get by with sloppy living. Don't you love the Message version? Your life is a journey, and you must travel with a deep consciousness of God, not the deep consciousness of Haven Community Church, not the deep consciousness of Jack Cohen, but of God himself. So what is that journey? And we've talked about it for 15 years. So I want to show you a prayer in the Bible. It comes from Ephesians chapter 1. Paul says this to the church in Ephesus. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may what? Know him better. What I want you to do on this journey, we want you to know God. I'm not talking about to understand, because then none of us can do that. It's not a mental note, but the word in Greek means gnosko. It's an ultimate know, an intimate know, a relationship know. I want you to have a living, ongoing relationship with a living and personal God. I want you to know him, because Matthew says, many will call me Lord, Lord, but not get to heaven, and I will send them away. Many call Jesus Lord, went to a church, check Christian box about when it comes to religion, and you think you're going to heaven, but you're not, because you don't know him. Basically, just get as close to God as you can and get the more knowing and loving of him in relationship. I want you to have the relationship, not the religion. There's a difference between that. So what's your next step in getting closer to God? Well, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, don't join Haven, join him. Because joining Jesus is the most important thing you will ever do in your life. It's about getting close to God and following him. And then there's a thing like the 26 people who got baptized and the other things. And just let me help and others help you along the way, and I'll be honored to be your tour guide on the spiritual journey. Then he continues in this prayer, and he's saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And the eyes of your heart can't be enlightened unless you know God first. You can't get saved. You can get saved and still have a lot of junk in your life. Anybody got an amen to that? Anybody got a lot of junk in your life? Yes. If not, like I said, I've been a pastor for 27, almost 28 years, and I got a lot of junk in my life. I still got a lot of stuff in my life. There's a lot of habits. There's a lot of addictions, a lot of hurts and the wounds. There's a lot of things that are ruining our life, and we know it. Doesn't mean we're not going to heaven. It just means we're living hell on earth. So how do we get our heart eyes open? It's the second step. We need to grow in our relationship with God, and that's finding freedom. And hands down, the best way to find freedom is through an authentic personal relationship with Jesus. And let me put it into context. I'm going to tell you, as much as I wish it would, my preaching will not help you find freedom. It won't make you find freedom. The church and preaching may be a catalyst for it. And it can stir something in you and spur you on. But the life-changing always happens in relationships. Always in relationships. And I can prove it to you. You ready for this? You have no clue the last 10 messages I gave you. But you can tell me right away 10 people who've impacted your life. Because relationships impact your life. Messages may be the catalyst for that, but your life is impacted by people. And I want you to have relationships. And I want you to have healthy ones. I want healthy ones. And then you'll get connected to people and you'll trust them. Some of the people I trust most in my life are in this church. Some of the people that I know that when I'm struggling, I can call and reach out to. And I know they're going to pray for me and not just say that they're going to do that, they're going to do that. I know that when I'm being attacked or dealt with, that they're going to surround me and link arms with me. And then what happens is when you form these relationships with people, they show you their nicks and their cuts and their scars and their hurts. And then you feel free to do the same. I've got issues. I'm not special holy. I'm just a guy who God called as a pastor, and I got issues. That's why I pay somebody to listen to me every week with my issues. And this is therapeutic for me, so you guys help with that as well. But I need prayer too. And guess what? I got issues, but you got issues too, because we all have issues. All God's children have issues. And if you don't have an issue, that's your issue. Just letting you know. We are all in the same hospital trying to get well. And the only thing that can make us well is the great physician. His name is Jesus. Amen. You do not have to stand in front of everybody, but you just need to have somebody who's close to you. We just shared with somebody this week who got disconnected, COVID and other things, and had nobody to talk to and turn to. There's several opportunities here to jump in to small groups, because what's your next step to find freedom? Ron leads our small groups and ministries, and we want to have as many as possible. I'd love to have more small groups and people in them than they're in their church and anything. Ephesians continues with this. Now, in order that you may know the hope in which he's called you to. You cannot know the hope in which he's called you to until you know God and you find freedom. You notice this, though, that hope is attached to your calling. A lot of people are looking for hope and they say, I'm just hopeless. It's hopeless. It's because it's in your calling. It's not in your sports team and your extracurricular activities. It's not in your house. It's not in your job. It's found in your calling that God gives to you. And that's why we come to this next one, serve, in discovering your purpose. And that's why we just spent time in Haven 201. And we're gonna offer those regularly so that you can find out your spiritual gifts and the personality that God gave to you, so that you can use that. There are two most important days of your life, are the day you're born and the day you found out why. And you discover that you have a purpose and your life takes on new meanings. And that's why our growth pathway is all about. And give us, when we have those a Sunday, three or four times after church, and discover God's purpose for your life. What is my next step to discover my calling? The rest of the prayer says, let's look at the whole prayer. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That's the second step. In order that you may know the hope for which he has called you. The third step, and the fourth one is this. And that's the riches of his glorious inheritance in God's holy people. You can't have it by yourself. You can't have it by yourself. The first three steps you can do alone, but you can't do the last one alone. You do it together, because it's what you call joining the body of Christ. So you're close to God through knowing God. You found freedom from growing. You discover what your part in the body is by connecting and serving. But now you get on a team. Why? So that you can share to make a difference in the world. That's why in 15 years, those many have connected at Haven, through worship team, Haven Kids, host team. I mean, you like that food when you come in the door, huh? Doesn't it just make your Sunday a little bit better? And some coffee. Stephen Ministry, Grief Share, Growth Team, which has our small groups connected to it. Facilities team that keeps this place rolling. Prayer team that sends, Debbie sends stuff out all the time. Our youth group, and Jen is amazing with them, and just a godsend. Our card ministry team. How many of you go, wow, it's my birthday, I got a card, or anniversary, I got my card. If you ain't getting one, go ahead and use that QR code up there and put it in, because you can get the app, and guess what? You'll get some birthday cards. And whether it's the AV team or the IT team, and you know, it's great that we have online feeds, but you know, there's some very gifted people that make that happen, who found their calling in the Lord. And outside these walls, with Haven's helping hands, they're feeding people with meals over the years through Parish Foundation, Community Kitchen, and Thanksgiving meals, clothing and coat drives and on our own clothing, nursing home gifts to those during COVID, first responders through food and water donations and during COVID to floors on the hospital. The Pilkington Assistance Fund, named after Danny Pilkington, where we help those in and around our community and others that we know get a firm foundation that may be struggling financially, may have lost a job, and it's devastating to them. Whether it's Miriam's Table, which is in Africa, or whether it's Compassion International, or Operation Christmas Child, or Cecil County Pregnancy Center, or donations for pets in need, We were one of the first people to be active in the addiction issue, and a member from this church gave a house so that we would have the first recovery center called Monarch House in Cecil County down there. There's others now, but the ministry of this church connected with others to make that happen, and just somebody who God touched their life and said, let's do this. Haven Community Church in Haiti, and we need to pray for them, and I'm really going to unpack that next week, because gangs are really taking over in the roads down there, and Jonas, our lead guide, I talked to yesterday, and he reached out to me, and he said, he pretty much told me that it's very, very dangerous down there. So the last thing, what do? I do not ever want you to forget, we don't go to church, but we are the church. We don't exist for ourselves, we exist for the world. Jesus says, you're going to be my ambassadors. You're the ones that got to get me out in the world. God says, never forget the stuff that I don't forget about. And what is it that God doesn't want to forget about? In 1 Kings, he says, and don't forget the foreigner who's not a member of your people, Israel, but is far from a country because of your reputation. But because of your reputation, people are going to be attracted here by your great reputation, your wonder-working power, who come to pray at this temple. And that's why we need to continually find creative ways to reach people in these very difficult times where people are closed to the Word of God but need His presence so much. In Psalm 9:18 says, but God will never forget the needy and the hope of the afflicted. God doesn't just say, woohoo, I got a good people in the church and I got them around the world. God says, I want one more, one more, one more. I want all of heaven to rejoice one more time, one more time. And so he's got one eye on us just enjoying the worship. But then he's got one eye on that girl who's been trapped in trafficking and been abused some 30 times this day. Or those who are displaced by civil war in Ukraine and Yemen and the failed truce in Yemen and Syria health crisis and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And I just read that the entire population is pushed to poverty. And Afghan women and girls bear the brunt of all brutality in that situation. Ethiopia's drought and conflict leaves 28.6 million in need of humanitarian areas, in need. In Somalia, there's a hunger crisis, limited ability to reach people because it's controlled by gangs and non-state armed groups. And one group was actually stopping, taking the food and destroying it or poisoning the water and giving it to people. In Haiti, gangs have brought brutal violence, death, and instability. Kidnapping and rapes, and rape is on, and killing are on the rise. Jonas told me yesterday, and I asked him how he is. He said, I'm surviving. The situation is so horrible. I have no clue what we're going to do. We're facing a food crisis, an unprecedented situation because the main roads are controlled by the gangs. When they don't steal the goods, they ask for huge amounts of money in order to pass. Life is literally extremely hard. Personally, I have lost my job 2 years ago because of gang violence. By now, I'm unemployed with no job and no perspective of that. While I'm living in constant fear of being caught in the crossfire, so unbearable, so please have your church pray. And then we've got our own issues here at home. We need to do everything we can to reach as many for the gospel. Don't miss next week as we talk about Haiti, because God put us together in amazing ways. We can never think it's about me or about us, because it's not about us. It's not for us. Our church is on a mission from God to reach the world. We're not the only church, but we're going to be a church open to what God has called us to do. We're not spiritual consumers, but we're spiritual contributors. And at the end of it all, at the end of my life, what I want to do is I want to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So what's your next step in living this out? Your purpose is to take those four steps. Take those four steps and give us a year of your life. Commit to those four steps and connect to people and see what God does in your life and giving you a purpose as you know him, as you grow in him, as you serve for him, as you share with others and him in the larger world. I mentioned Pastor Bill Sammons, who was my last spiritual father who was living. And he was an old hog farmer, and that the Lord touched his heart, and he became a pastor at the age of 55. And he turned his farm into Eagle's Nest Campground down in Milton, Delaware. And just when he accepted the Lord, he went to the altar, and that's how they were done then. And he said to the Lord, "Hey, if this is real, you do it. If not, all right." And he got up and walked, and he said there was no jumping over the pews, no lightning, no nothing. It was just level. But God touched his heart and changed his life. And he went on to be with the Lord. And at his funeral, I was just thinking about my other spiritual fathers, my dad, Reverend Jim Jones from Rising Sun, Reverend John Hobbs, who passed away a year ago, and Reverend Bill Sammons. There was a video clip where Bill was talking about the call of Isaiah, where Isaiah sees the Lord, and he says, "Oh, I'm a man of unclean lips." And I just want to show you this clip as we close this out, and then we're going to just go to our closing worship song right after that. And I want to let Bill, my last spiritual father, just to go ahead and say this last thing. Please watch this.
No, but that story is so precious to me. As he was sharing, I couldn't help but think about it. I use that illustration in the book I wrote, From the Pig Pen to the Pulpit. And because Isaiah was in the temple and he saw the Lord. And after he saw God, he saw himself. And see, most of us, and I did, this is my story, I felt pretty good about myself until I saw God. When I saw God, I humbled myself and I cried out, "Woe is me." And then when God hears that cry, he will cleanse you. If sins are forgiven. But nowhere, I was impressed by that story, because nowhere in that story did God call Isaiah. He just said, "Who'll go?" And dear ones, this, what you're looking at here today, is a result of somebody having no abilities or gifts that just said, "God, I'll go. I'll do this." And this is a result. So let me encourage you. Some of you are sitting here today saying, "Well, I'd sure like to do something, but I'm not qualified." That's exactly who God uses, those who are not qualified, who are available. The real question is, are you available? Will you go when God gives you a call? That may be to go in the nursery, maybe go outside and work on the prayer walk, maybe to preach. I don't know. But God is looking for all of us to say, "Here I am, Lord, I'll go. Send me." Why this is working is because it's never been about building a church. It's about building the kingdom. Amen. Amen. And if you'll look at the life of Christ, the forerunner of Christ coming, John the Baptist, had one message: Kingdom of God is coming. Jesus got here and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. He wound up his ministry in the book of Acts, spending 40 days teaching him the things concerning the what? The kingdom of God. Jesus said he'd build the church. Let's let him build the church. Let's build a kingdom. Amen?
Jesus said he'd build the church. Let us build the kingdom. Amen? Let's all stand, and if you just pray with me right now. Lord, I pray for this amazing congregation. But this is your church. You said you built it. You did, in spite of me. And God, I thank you for every person who's been on the journey and who's not on, that everybody who's not on the Haven journey, but that they're on your journey, their own spiritual journey with you. God, I pray for every person who feels that they're far from you and want to be close to know you. I pray for those who are struggling with their past, their wounds, their addictions, their habits, their issues that we all have. And God, I pray that you would just give them the courage to get connected with some others and find freedom. And we'll receive all that you have for them, and so they can stop looking behind and start looking ahead. And in fact, God, you have a purpose for them. And ultimately, God, you have called them to make a difference in the world and with other people. And so, Lord, wherever they are in our journey, wherever everybody is on their journey, we're all different places. Just give each of us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to take the next step. And if you're here today and you said, Jack, I need to take the first step. Maybe you've been around church or Christianity your whole life, but you had religion, but you didn't have relationship, and you didn't know God. An intimate relationship. And some of you are far from God because you've walked away, and you've let other stuff get in the way between you and the Lord. Some of you have never really just given that intimate connection and commitment. There's only one way, and it's his name is Jesus. He is the only way. It's as simple as just surrendering your life and control of your life over to him. So I want to close this service from wherever you are, wherever you're watching, whether you're here or whether you're far away, you see it later this week. For those of you who say, Jack, I'm ready to take that step. The first step is not about us. It really has very little to do with us. We're along for the ride. You don't have to come down front or stand up and Yelp or whatever else you want to do. There is a place for public acknowledgement of that, and that's what we use for baptism. But the first one doesn't need to just happen outwardly, but it needs to happen in your heart. So if you say, Jack, I'm ready to take that first step, and I want God to know it, I'd be honored, as I've been able to do for many years, to lead you in a prayer where you can do that. So with our heads bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, just say, God, count me in. Be bold today, and just wherever you're on your journey, just say, God, count me in to whatever that step is. If it's the first one, God, count me in to your kingdom. God, I'm struggling and I need you. Whether you've been on this path and you just need to grow, and you just need to serve and share, whatever it is. You need to find your purpose for life, whatever it is. If you want that step in your life, just be bold, and just every head bowed and eyes closed, and just throw your hand up and just count me in. Just count me in. Count me in. Please put your hands down. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, you'll be saved. So whisper to heaven, but shout in your heart. And just say, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross, for paying my sins. And I receive forgiveness today. And I surrender my life completely to you. Be my Lord. Give me the commitment and the Holy Spirit power to take the next steps that you have for me. And with all my heart, and all my life, I'm going to live for you. Thank you for setting me free. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody say amen.
My foes are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, my help is on the way. Oh my God, He will not delay, my refuge and strength always. Promise is true, my God will.
Amen. Happy anniversary. Don't forget, for a love offering, we have the shirts. Hot off the presses, they're pretty awesome. And you got cake. And Joanna will tackle you if you leave without getting cake, right? God bless. If you want to go ahead, and if you're visiting today, please connect. We love you. We're glad you're here. And have a great week. And next week, pray for Haiti this week, and we'll see you next week.